due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
2019, regrets, we've had a few. For instance, Bailey's haircut, Shane McMahon too. 2020's gonna be great. There's nothing I'm dreading. And at least this show doesn't have the Lana Lashley wedding.
This is Taryn Terrell, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic. Always suck the head and eat the tail.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 28th. Couple birthdays. Happy birthday to Leaping Lanny Poffo. He's 65 today. Diva Search contestant Taryn Terrell. See, now you know why I did it. She was Tiffany, I think, on Impact Wrestling. She is 34.
No, she was Tiffany on ECW.
Oh, ECW. I'm sorry. What was she on Impact Wrestling? Was she Taryn Terrell?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's 34, and remember what she says. And Rachel Ellering is 27 today. Rachel Ellering, you haven't seen a lot, but you will see a lot, I'm guessing, in the future. She's 27 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Doan's Slight Empire Culver. Join us January 18th for UFC 246, Salvatore's Saloon. Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time. You want to get there early. It's Conor McGregor versus Cowboy in the main event. You don't want to miss that. It will be hosted by us. Drink specials all night long. That's January 18th. Salvatore Saloon. Salvatore's at the Garage Door. UFC 246. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. Find them on Facebook or their page, webpage, flowercityfear.com. They're also looking for skaters and the assort. Welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I'm joined in the studio by Danger Boy. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, acknowledge me, please.
I'm reading old texts on the Zip Whip.
Oh, I haven't even opened it yet. We DC Dan Cole for a second straight week is trapped in Rochester.
Good morning.
He also brought the good weather with him.
You're welcome.
And the good donuts.
And the good donuts
You're
today.
You're welcome.
Got Furby.
Good morning, everybody. I'm back.
Yeah, you thought he was gone for a week, and he was, but he's back now. And a special studio guest with us straight from Corpus Christi, Texas. It's the Artiste. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning. Hello.
Hey, you're welcome to the Rochester Airwaves.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
It's been a crazy month, but good to actually make it in here for once. So.
It's interesting. It's the second time you've been in Rochester in like the last 2 weeks, but you also went back to Texas and came back, right?
Yeah, I got two nights in my own bed, and then I was back here a couple weeks ago, got two nights in my own bed, then we had a road weekend in Shreveport, then came back here. Now I go back tomorrow for a night and a half in my own bed. And then right back on the road to Shreveport again. So, living out of a suitcase, but it's a good time of year.
That is the life of the hockey announcer and the wrestler and a bunch of other positions. Rock and roll star. The whole sort. We're going to talk to you about a lot of stuff today, including AEW and Corpus.
Am I in trouble?
No, you're not in trouble, but you were down there for AEW and Corpus Christi a week and a half ago.
True.
But we have the painies going on this weekend, too, since we figured everybody was together. We were going to do our painies a little bit early this year.
That word still makes me cringe however many years later.
The painies?
Yeah.
It's the painies.
Just sounds like another word that makes me cringe.
Get your painies in a bunch.
Yeah.
We did have voting. We put it up on our web page, on the Facebook page last week. There was voting. I don't know how many votes we got, but we do have them all tabulated. I think the law offices of of Cole and Cole have put sealed them all in envelopes.
Isn't it a doctor's office now?
No, is it doctor's Dr. Cole and Cole?
Dr. Cole and the underachieving husband.
I don't know if that's so, that be so. But nevertheless, it's our law. It's our lawyers. And they put them in envelopes. So we're going to read them during the show. We've got, how many do we have, like 10?
Nine.
We have nine categories. And there was a write-in, too. I mean, did you write down any of the good write-ins, or did you?
I mean, I have all the information right here, and, you know, so I can tell you. There was one I questioned.
Okay. Like,
really, you might have a couple more write-ins.
Like, while it was a good match, you really want to die on the hill of Io Shirai and Candice LeRae being match of the year?
That was a good one, but not
it
match
was
of the year.
Good.
Yeah,
it was a good match,
not match
but
of
not,
the year.
No.
I do think that there was my match of the year vote was missing. So,
well, we will talk about it, I guess,
yeah,
when we
I
get
guess
to
we'll
it.
Get to that.
Cool. So,
well, maybe you should be around more.
Maybe I should. I'm always around.
He is around someplace or another.
I don't know where most of the time, but I'm around.
Says me who hasn't been here for the last 6 months.
I'm guessing when you're not here, you're on a bus at this time. So,
probably. I don't know. Yeah, you texted me a couple weeks ago. We were in, that's when we were in Shreveport. But we had like an 8:30 meeting, and you guys were taping early or something, I think.
That was a week ago.
Yeah, maybe it was a week ago. I don't know. It's a blur.
You know, whatever. It's relative. Time is relative.
2020 starts in a few days,
it
so
does.
That's the thing.
Will you be seeing 2020?
We have a home game that night on New Year's Eve, so we'll get to see. I don't know. Hopefully get out of the building before midnight. We'll see.
Get to celebrate with some of the Corpus Christi Ice Rays.
Yeah, and then get on the bus the next morning.
Oh, no.
Yay.
Oh, no. Well, don't be so up about it, okay?
No, it'll be good. It'll be a fun week. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up. So, more excited for pro wrestling night at our game 13 nights from today.
Yeah, so. We kind of teased it a little bit when we were talking about Luke Harper is going to be there.
Luke Harper will be there.
Let me ask you, did you get a cease and desist?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
All is well right now.
Well, we also
just announced this week that Sammy Guevara is coming in as well. So a little bit of a mix of different promotions and stuff, too.
Hopefully, that's cool.
Hopefully that all still meshes well. There's a lot of fun stuff going on. It's coming together well. We're going to have a ring in the building for some matches in the building, like pregame and intermission and all sorts of stuff going on that, quite honestly, I don't even really want to call the game that night. I just want to, like, experience everything else that's going on. But
could we see possibly an ex-WWE guy wrestling an AEW guy?
You will not see that.
Okay,
neither one of them are wrestling that night. You will hear a former Intercontinental Champion doing some legitimate hockey color commentary that night, which we're both really excited about. So,
all right. Now, can it be as good as the King?
I don't know. I think, no offense to Jerry Lawler, when I got to call some hockey with him, I think Luke Harper is more in tune with hockey specifics. So I don't know if the comedy level will be the same as Lawler, but I think the hockey analytics, I think, are going to be better.
So you're saying it's all going to lead back to the Toronto Maple Leafs every time?
Yes.
Potentially.
Okay.
No.
Just throwing that out there. So, Mr. Archie, since we started about it, we haven't really jumped into the paintings yet. Let's talk about AEW coming to your hometown, Corpus Christi.
In fairness, I will still say that this is my hometown.
Okay, well, where you're living now.
Yeah. My current residence in South Texas, but... it was a lot of fun. They were in the house a week and a half ago for that, obviously their last show of the year, and I think it was everything was a very positive experience. I had arranged a lot of cross promotion stuff between the team, between the Ice Rays and AEW, and working with them was great. They got, I think, a huge walk up day of the show, and a lot of people. That was my first non-indie show in Corpus, and everybody had talked about how terrible of a town it was. It's so quiet, nobody cheers, nobody makes noise and stuff. That crowd was hot, and to be honest, there were parts of that show that the crowd should have been hot for, and other parts that maybe not as much. I don't know if it was their best episode of the year, but it was still a really good show.
I remember there was a long women's match during it. It was in the first hour, I think.
I think it started with the tag match, the Lucha Bros and Omega and Paige match that I thought, I don't know, it almost seemed like even that was going a little long, and those are four really, really good guys.
I'll put it, and I've said this before, most of the AEW matches they tend to have on TV go a little long.
Yeah. But the main event tag with SCU and the Bucks, I thought also was a little long, and that was awesome. To me, that was one of their better matches in the promotion all year. So it was a very, very tag match heavy show, including the four-way tag on Dark that was taped that night as well. But crowd was electric. They went nuts for Guevara, even though he's a bad guy, being a Houston boy. You could tell that legitimately they were very happy with the crowd, and Tony Khan got in the ring at the end and already gave the thumbs up for them to come back to Corpus. But it was really cool having them in the building and being around, you know, the night before, getting to meet some people.
I was going to say, I saw some of the pictures with you and Cody.
Yep.
Cody came in a day early, right?
Yep, yeah. Cody was there along with, you know, I worked a little bit with some of their behind-the-scenes people on the cross-promotion stuff, and so a lot of those people were there the night before, and, you know, Shivani was around, Aubrey was around, Leva Bates was really the one that coordinated a lot of the stuff that we were doing, and she did a phenomenal
blue
job.
Blue Pants?
What's that?
Blue Pants?
Blue Pants, yes. Yes, the librarian or Blue Pants. And her and I got to know each other a little bit when I was doing...
She was in town last summer for the Comic-Con that we had here.
Yep.
She was involved. Yeah, she's been here a couple times.
So. Yeah, and she was a regular at Wrestle Circus, so we got to work together there, which was really fun. And so it was good to see a lot of those people. Again, there were a lot of familiar faces there, and then it was also kind of weird because that show in Corpus was a few days after the Every Time I Die Christmas show in Buffalo that I got to do the commentary on that, and like Best Friends and Orange Cassidy and a bunch of those people, Butcher and the Blade, all of them were on that show in Buffalo, and then we saw each other again you know, a few days later in Corpus as well. So it's been a whirlwind, but the show itself I thought was a ton of fun. Crowd was really into it. Very impressed with how they ran things. Just a very, very professional setup and very organized, and everybody couldn't have been, you know, nicer to work with or to meet or anything. So nothing but very positive experiences, and hopefully they will make their way up this way pretty soon.
Well, they're coming to Cleveland. Furby's going already to Cleveland. And by the way, this is Furby. This is the artiste. There, you met each other. We're on Facebook.
Officially, there's a handshake.
We're on Facebook Live right now. Neither of those guys, I think, are in the Facebook Live shot.
Yeah, but, and you're welcome for that. Yeah, no. I don't need to be. But here, I'll wait.
How about Tony Khan? Was he a nice guy? Did you get to sit
I didn't. I didn't meet Tony specifically. You know, I just his office was kind of around the corner, and he went in the ring after the show and gave Sean Spears a stunner. I'm sure some people saw that on Twitter.
Oh, I saw
and
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not the best stunner ever given.
No,
but it was a fire shot that I saw.
So crowd went nuts for it, but yeah, no, I didn't meet Tony, but it was definitely it was a cool experience, you know, the being around kind of backstage and seeing how the building I'm working in every day was transformed into that. I was kind of hoping that some of the backstage segments were going to end up in the Ice Rays dressing room, but that area is more for female talent, coaches, and announcers. Got like that area. The male talent was back in the Division I basketball locker room.
But you got to walk. I saw the pictures you had of walking through the entranceway.
Yeah.
And what was that like? I mean, obviously, it's pretty cool to. I did it at Impact Wrestling at Universal, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever to come through their entranceway. You know.
Yeah. So that was the night before the show. Like right after I got back into town, we were kind of waiting. They had production meetings going on, so we're kind of hanging out, and then I kind of ducked back to my desk for 20 minutes to get some work done, and which was about 10 feet from catering. Leva came back over, brought Cody into our office. I did like the interview with him in there. And then we walked over to like the loading dock, and originally we were going to take so I presented a custom game jersey to Cody, which he was super excited that he actually got to keep it. Which I guess is,
wow,
spoiler alert, a lot of times when athletes and stuff get presented jerseys, they don't get to keep them, but made sure he got to keep that. And so we were originally going to take the pictures in the ring. And when we got back over, they were already setting up in the ring for the quick little in-ring interview that JR did with Jungle Boy I don't want to call him Jack Perry. I just want to call him Jungle Boy.
Well, I don't think JR got his name right once the whole night if you watched it.
He just really wants to call him Jack Perry.
Jack Perry. Yeah. Jungle Perry. He just was all over the place.
So, you know, we were standing back in like Gorilla and Cody's like, oh, let's just take it up on the stage. And so I kind of followed him up the steps and walked through. And, you know, it's when you see it up close and you walk through it, it's a lot more simple looking than you imagine from like the pageantry of television.
Sure, sure.
But, I mean, no matter how many like indie shows or whatever I've worked on or something like that was still pretty cool walking out on that stage and standing out there for a bit.
You should ask Cody if you could have come out the way he does. You know how he's out in the middle of that thing goes up.
Oh, the elevator. Well, we stood like right next to the little elevator door when we were taking. Originally, he was going to take the picture with and we got one with a TNT sign on that in the background, but the lighting wasn't the best for the pictures, but. But yeah, that was a cool experience for sure. So, and I, along the lines of what I was talking about, like Cody specifically, I had met him before, but not at all in this capacity. And we had a really good chat while we were walking. It's quite our complex there is huge. So my office is over kind of by the convention center and auditorium. So while we were walking back over to the arena, we had a really good chat. He kind of, I had alluded to, we were talking about the team for a minute, talked about how Luke Harper's coming in and spoiler alert is going to get on the ice with our team.
Uh-oh.
So that's going to be fun. Not during the game.
Better have some video of it for us up here in Rochester.
Although maybe that would help.
Yeah, maybe.
but we were talking a little bit and, you know, he was then like, oh yeah, you know, all the Rochester guys and stuff. And he started to mention like a bunch of people from this area who, you know, we all know and stuff. So he's very in tune with everything, but, you know, we got to talk a little bit just about everything. Like he was so down to earth in the conversation, and you know, we talked about the team, we talked about the show. He couldn't have been a better person, and I thought like he was so organized with stuff from a business side, but from a personal side and stuff was just awesome. So I couldn't say enough good things about him. Of course, then, you know, I was presenting a jersey to him a night before he was wrestling a couple friends of mine and Butcher and the Blade, who I may have been cheering for against Cody the next night, just sitting in the crowd, but that's the way it goes.
I was going to say, did you let him know you used to do a radio show up in Rochester when...
I don't know if that came up in the conversation. There were a lot of things. I mean, he and Leva and I were walking, and like it was... I know at one point we talked kind of about how like... I think the last Wrestle Circus show, Leva cosplayed as Cody. So they were in contact all day about the whole thing. And then, like, I did commentary for the match, but, like, I was the one that actually drew the dream tattoo on Leva's chest, like Cody's stuff.
Yeah.
And so little connections like that. But, you know, it was a great experience. So I was already a really big fan of what they're doing. And I guess with my personal schedule and stuff, like I don't have enough time to watch 46 hours of wrestling every week.
Sure.
But those two, I make sure, if at all possible, to watch live every week. And I'm even more of a fan of theirs now.
Cool.
So they're coming to Austin in February. So I'll be back for that at least. So cool.
Well, we're going to take a call before we go take a quick break. We got to do our paintings, but we got Rick on the line. Rick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing okay. How about you?
Good. Hey, Artiste, were you at the game last night?
I was not, unfortunately, and it sounds like I missed a very, very good one. So,
yeah, they won with 2.1 seconds left in the third.
They're having a great year. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Hey, first of all, it was just a match they just had, but did you guys catch the Austin Theory Roddy match on Wednesday?
Yeah, it was on NXT. They taped it a week ago, and they had their hodgepodge of matches that they showed on Christmas Day, and it was a pretty good match. It was a good debut for Austin Theory, though there was really no belief that he was going to actually win the match. So, but it was a good match. It was a good showing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Roderick Strong's a good guy. But go ahead.
Did you? I did vote, but I forgot. I'm sure the Team Ciampa versus Undisputed Era War Games was one of the matches of the year, right? One of the ones you could vote on.
It definitely is. You are correct.
I hope that one wins. That match tore the house down.
Anything else, Rick?
Yeah. I just seen a picture with Marty and Luke. Any news on them I guess Marty wants to have Luke join Villain Enterprises.
Yeah, well, Marty's not even under contract to anybody right now, as far as we know. His Ring of Honor one was lapsed at, I think it's at the end of this year.
Well, he already showed up at NWA.
Yeah,
he showed up. Even if it's a one-off, which I don't really...
Well, he's taking on the champion here shortly. I mean, they already taped it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he did all his tapings already for NWA. He's going to fight Aldis at the next pay-per-view. And then I heard he's going to show up at one more show somewhere. And then who knows after that.
Very cool. So, yeah,
and,
so Marty.
I'm sorry.
No, okay, go ahead, Rick.
I did see on Sammy's vlog, Colt Cabana's in the back in the locker room. What's going on with Colt Cabana?
Like, apparently he's done with Ring of Honor
He was on Dark. He was he helped announce AEW Dark.
Speaking
in Corpus,
of, speaking of Artis, we're going to break because I want to talk a little bit about you and meeting. Did you get to meet all the announcers who were there?
Not all of them, but...
we'll talk about the some that you met then, okay?
All right.
You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Everybody knows Braun Strowman as the monster among men. But what everyone may not know is that that monster has a great set of hips on him. So I think it's high time that the world saw what those hips can do. Now we all know somebody's gonna get these hands, but tonight the good people of Detroit are gonna get this dance. I don't know if he is quite done with you just yet, Daniel. I mean, he remembers everything. So let me ask you this. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Huh? Are you willing to let him in?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Listen, what would Otis know about a woman like you, what you really want anyway, right?
I am the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with PC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Furby. The Artiste joins us in the studio. And we're going to, before we get back to stories, let's do a couple of painies right now. I've got some good ones. I know. How about I do one right now?
Go for it.
Okay, I'm going to do the Breakout Star of the Year. This is voted on you, folks. The Breakout Star of the Year. We had three choices.
And always the write-in.
Yeah, and the write-in. We had, but with 57.14% of the vote, we have Breakout Star of the Year, NXT's Keith Lee.
You got to think that's mostly due in part to his performance at Survivor Series.
Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah. Without that, he doesn't win that.
No.
In my opinion.
Well,
no, he's phenomenal. I'm not taking anything away from Keith Lee. He's been great. He's had, go back and watch some of his crazy matches on the indies and stuff, too. Especially, like, some of the Texas ones and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, Survivor Series, they made him a star. Now, hopefully, they can keep that going.
In my honest opinion, too, it wasn't really until they started having him do matches with Dijakovic that really they started to do anything with Keith Lee after they brought him in. And that wasn't really till like September.
Yeah.
And plus, you got the great launching Adam Cole into the crowd spot.
Yeah.
which is great, even if it's completely stealing the Anthony Gaines moment from Empire State Wrestling. But that's fine. Yes. It was still pretty crazy.
I was going to say, and he was up against the bro. Who else was it, too? There was three people.
And the Street Profits.
The Street Profits, too. So
There's some AEW guys that could be in the mix on that as well. But.
The AEW star with the most write-ins, I can inform you, was Mr. MJF.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
so. I almost would, if you didn't go by win-loss record, I would almost put Sammy Guevara in that category. And I feel like you can't say SCU because they've been around for decades.
Yeah.
But in terms of the name they're making for themselves now compared to before, and you could almost make that argument.
And I'll definitely agree with that with Guevara, because of the first opening match on AEW, the biggest thing that I really remember, and one of my favorite AEW matches so far, was Guevara versus Cody.
Yeah.
The very first match.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So there, we've got one now. What's another one we want to do?
I can get mine out of the way. I have one, and that's the Tag Team of the Year. And with 46.43% of the vote, Undisputed Era.
43% is undisputed. It's the majority, at least. So, yeah.
It was the majority.
Yeah. I don't think there's any arguing that.
No. Well, you know, the funny thing is, I didn't vote for them, okay? And I voted for the OG.
So almost undisputed.
I voted for the OG, and I'll tell you why, because...
OG Hendrix?
Yeah, you voted for OG Hendrix?
No.
That was the OC?
The OC I meant, not OG, sorry. OC, I will tell you why, because until that fateful night in Buffalo in which NXT was put on a level platform with every other show, the Undisputed Era was the minor leagues up until that moment.
NXT was put on a level platform the minute they had 2 hours of live TV.
I don't know about that.
So this is going to be unpopular, but I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Since the Wednesday Night Wars have started, and this isn't me like picking sides or anything like that. It's just following up on what I said. I'm like, I don't have time for everything. I'm honestly watching less NXT now than I was before they switched to USA. I still try to catch up on it here and there, watch matches, or at least have it going while I'm doing something else. But I'm watching AEW live, and I most times I don't have time to go back and watch all of NXT every week. So for me, like, everything before they went to USA almost counts more in my voting. But that's just, and I know there's other people in that category. I know there's also probably plenty of people that don't watch AEW only because they're watching NXT at that time and they don't want to go back and watch AEW.
Well, there was tape. Remember, for the longest time, there was people who were WWE fans who didn't watch NXT.
There right. still is.
Yeah.
I mean,
there still definitely are.
Well, obviously, by the ratings, there still is.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, NXT had actually increased in viewership on Christmas night because there was no AEW against them.
Personally, I would love it if NXT was on a different night, because I would rather watch that than Raw at this point, and honestly, SmackDown as well. But there's something, like, I've always campaigned for live shows and stuff too. I mean, like, my favorite time with Impact ever was when they were live and in different arenas and stuff like that. So I don't know, when I already know what's happening, I'm not as interested to go back and watch it. It doesn't mean that I don't all the time, but it's just not I don't know, it's not the same feeling.
Sometimes it actually intrigues me to go back and watch it, just because I want to see how they get to the point that I read about, you know. It's like, how does it get
potentially
there?
Yeah.
So quickly, what announcers did you get to meet? Because we're going to break again real soon, and we're going to do maybe another one into the break too.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, JR was around, but he was doing that interview with Jack Perry, so it was really just Shivani the night before when we were, because everybody's kind of running around during the show day itself. I didn't really, like, the show day I was around earlier in the day, and then like I went back at the end of the show, but the night before, Shivani was around for like the production meeting and stuff, and you know, obviously, like, got to see you know, some of the people that are familiar faces from the indies and stuff too, but really kind of the main ones I had already mentioned, I guess, would be the main ones. I'm trying to think who I didn't meet that it would have been nice to actually get a chance to talk with JR. There just wasn't really the right time.
Did you see Colt Cabana?
I did not, actually. Yeah, there was a lot of people, tweeting like that they wanted me to do Dark and stuff, and then like the timing that Colt Cabana's first ever trip to Corpus Christi, Texas, just happens to be on that one. So maybe someday. I like how they rotate it, and Colt to me is one of the best. That, I mean, I could easily see him permanently filling that role.
I just remember him being in the studio with Luke Harper, hanging out.
Wow.
When we were over in Midtown. This is years ago, but it was like, yeah, that, I mean, he was great. Did you get to see Mookie by any chance?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
And that was first time in forever. Yeah, he was around the Tuesday night with the meetings and stuff. So that was, I don't even know when the last time I saw him was, but it had been a very long time. So it was good to see him for sure.
Yeah, it's like he's, you know, we tried to get him on when we found out that he was hired as the business director, and they wouldn't let him. So
yeah, he was walking around with his notebook and everything, and I mean, they've got it's a cool crew they've got behind the scenes, kind of running everything, and it's not. It doesn't seem like it's a bunch of like suits walking around like you'd probably experience more with WWE. I mean, these are people that, whether it's Aubrey or Mookie or Bryce or Leva
or
these
Cody,
people that
are, who's vice president,
right.
You know?
The only one I didn't, so I worked a lot leading up to the event. There was a lot of communication with their PR department and with Brandy specifically to set things up. But then she had the flu, so she wasn't around Tuesday night for that. Or I'm sure she would have been around for all that stuff too. So
cool.
I did not end up meeting her in person for that. But
all right, let's go to break. We got another one to give out. What's the next one, Danger? You got one there?
Yeah, I got. I'll do promotion of the year.
Promotion of the year.
This one. There's a result in here that shouldn't be that shocking, but it kind of is. Well, so the winner with 50% of the vote is NXT.
This is voted on you folks.
AEW got 39.2% of the vote. Hmm. WWE itself got 0% of the vote.
Isn't WWE NXT? Yeah.
No.
I know. We decided
it
that
is,
last
but
year.
But it is.
Okay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Now, how about another one? One more before we go to break.
All right. I got Faction of the Year. I think this comes as no surprise to anybody. It is Undisputed Era with 67.86% of the vote.
Wow.
I mean, they're the one that seemed like a faction the most.
Yes.
Regardless the most of what they did.
Yeah, they're around. Yeah, exactly.
They are the modern day Four Horsemen. And on that note, we're going to go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You can also text us if you're shy. And if it's funny, I'll read it. We'll be back right after these messages.
And I think I speak for every parent and every mother in this entire world. The last thing you do is mess with a child, especially the child of a mother, because Mama Bear Mode comes out, and the last place you want to be is in between a mother bear and her cub. If that ain't the truth, I don't know what the hell is. Now, I said that my child is everything in the world to me, and with that being said, there is nothing in this entire world that I would not do to stop anybody that comes in between me and my baby. And Sasha Banks put herself there. And on that note, if they didn't pull me off of her last week, when they did, she would have not walked out of this arena.
Hey, Otis, I've got a match.
My mama saw you give me a hand and a kiss last week, so she made her famous homemade holiday fruit cake. It's got fruit in it.
Wow. Homemade?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I sweated on your new dress.
Oh, that's all right. It's what happens.
Ho! Hey, folks, this is Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Tough guy.
Oh. Welcome back to
tough
the Pain
Clinic. Tough guy got cut off.
I know. You know what he was going to say that. You knew that.
Could be a USA champ.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm Cashman with the Artiste, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, and Furby, and you. And let's do another award. We've got
Moment of the Year.
Moment of the Year.
No surprise. 42.86% Kofi Mania.
Wow.
It's, I think that's an easy choice for the reaction, especially the build up to that match. I wish the follow up after that. I mean, he had the belt for a long time, but I feel like they kind of dropped the ball after that moment, but that moment itself was great.
It was, I think it's my favorite moment of the year too, and that's what I personally voted for. I was at WrestleMania this year. As some of you know, I was sicker than a dog. I had pneumonia and the flu. I still made it there, and I screamed like a little schoolgirl when he won and hugged the person next to me. So
to be fair, he is a little schoolgirl. So
it was a great moment. I still get chills.
And I will say, it's not just Kofi they dropped the ball with after WrestleMania. It's pretty much everything they did from WrestleMania till about Survivor Series. So
how about WrestleMania till the debut of SmackDown on Fox?
Yeah,
because
even then they dropped the ball. I mean, they fired their executive director in week two. So
and Survivor Series was cool. Like it really, like there were some great matches and stuff, but like I still wish that had been for something. It would have meant more than just matches. And then, okay, everybody go back to your normal thing. Like,
yeah, remember who you were beating on the last, you know, couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the whole, like, oh, here's another TV show where everybody's just brawling. Oh, we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it one more time this week. And, like, I don't know. I thought it kind of got overhyped. Some of the matches that weekend were unbelievable, but the whole storyline of it and the build-up to it was kind of getting old to me.
So we still got a couple awards to give away. I know Match of the Year is out there.
I've got Match of the Year.
We got Male Wrestler of the Year, which I have. Let's do one more before we...
All right, I've got Event of the Year.
Event of the Year.
All right.
Would this be pay-per-view slash live event?
So the winner is NXT TakeOver 25 with 60.71% of the vote.
61% for that? It was not my vote. I personally went all out, but...
I did not think it was going to get that many votes, but that's who I chose for my pick, so...
And that was the night before WrestleMania? No.
No, that was June 1st, I believe.
Oh, okay.
That was when...
Is that the one in New York? Where was that one?
I don't remember where it was, but it was when Adam Cole won the title from Gargano.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, that also had Matt Riddle versus Roderick Strong, the Street Profits winning the titles in the Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match, Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Breeze, Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, and then... Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano.
I was in Bridgeport on June 1st.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, they.
That's the one they had to move because the Saudi show. It was originally going to be later.
Yeah, that's right. Interesting. So, and what do you think about how the takeovers are not going to be takeovers anymore coming up? You know, I mean,
well, they're not going to be timed the same. They're not going to be next to pay per views. They're going to be their own entity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, along the lines of what we're kind of just talking about, like takeover. There were some really great matches, but like TakeOver was so unnecessary during Survivor Series weekend, especially in a week that had five huge shows all in Chicago within a week's time. Like,
a lot of people doing double duty as well, two nights in a row.
Yeah, there wasn't a SmackDown special pay-per-view that weekend. There wasn't a Raw one. You didn't need the NXT one that weekend. I understand the matches were great and stuff like that, but if you want to be on the same level, then everything should be on the same level.
I was going to say, not only that, it wasn't just any takeover. It was War Games.
Right.
And then you had these people who went through hell the night before coming out and winning matches the next night.
Yeah.
No. It tells you how far in advance they had everything planned.
Oh, yeah.
Not very.
Well, and that's, I mean, Royal Rumble is coming up in a few weeks in Houston, which I don't even want to jinx things because I was supposed to, it's my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I still haven't gone. I was supposed to go a couple times. Hopefully it's going to finally happen this year, but they've at least had that planned for a while that it's not a takeover before, but instead they're doing that When Worlds Collide.
Yes.
Thing, so, yep.
And I am
which that I won't
super
be able to
excited
go to.
For that first match they've announced for Worlds Collide.
Yep. Imperium and Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
And we've got a game that night, but at least Sunday we're free. So,
oh man, so yeah, so things are still changing as we speak, and how they're going to be doing stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously with this past NXT, this past week's NXT, we saw some of the Evolve guys showing up.
I think don't they just have to get to the point where NXT is involved in all of the regular pay per views, and
I think
they don't do takeovers.
I think they're going to be with the main pay per views, the main four. They are, I think, you know, they're going to be in Royal Rumble. We've already heard that they're supposed to be 10 guys in the Royal Rumble match, and I'm sure they'll have actually one of their matches there.
I also read something earlier this week that there's a good chance that. Possibly NXT could have either a co-main event or main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Well, they do have a heavyweight title. They do have a women's title. They do have tag titles.
Well, they've got the best women's division in all of wrestling.
They've taken the cruiserweight title.
Yeah, they've taken, you're correct.
Although their tag division is almost non-existent right now.
Correct.
I heard that Shayna was moving up sooner than later.
You know she's winning the
laterally moving now, Rich, right?
Yeah, laterally
moving now.
Yeah. Laterally moving, yes. It is a ladder. It's not moving up anymore. It's moving over.
It's moving up.
Yeah, it is, because I'm sure
we can all like NXT the best and still say that it's moving up.
It is. It was developmental for many years, so that's
the way. There's plenty of people that love going to Amex games more than anything, but if the player goes up to the Sabres, they're going up.
You are correct.
Same thing.
You are correct. So on that note, we're going to go to break. We've got, let's see, how many awards?
I'm going to do one more really quick.
Okay.
Get it out of the way. Female Wrestler of the Year. No surprise. 54% approximately. The man, Becky Lynch.
Of course. You know, I mean, how could you not? The world was focused on her this past year.
And quite honestly, nobody in AEW right now is in the category to win that yet. Hopefully that changes over the next year.
And we'll see what the awards are like next year. I'm sure they're going to be mixed up quite a bit, so... With that note, we're going to break. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 12. The system.
This is the Monster Abyss from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
Or should we say the Monster Abyss from NXT? Because I believe he's a traveling agent with NXT now. Him, Jeremy. They're coming January 12th. Buffalo, we're going. Going to see our buddies, JB and Abyss. And I don't know who else is going to be there, but... I don't care. It's $20 to get in. You can have, you know what? I found a better seat standing than I could have sat when I went to the show. I was like, you know, we were moving around. We got to see everybody. So
is this a Riverwork show?
It's a Riverwork show. Nice. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite venues. I love that place.
Yeah, Rob, you spent some time there at Riverworks a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, two very long fun days for the Every Time I Die Christmas show and the wrestling and the bands.
Do you know the Sunday after that? There was another
Goo Goo
concert.
Dolls.
Yeah, Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah.
Yeah. The night before that, it was very weird standing after the wrestling. We were standing side stage. Like, it's a heavier music concert with Every Time I Die and Glassjaw and Against Me and whatever. But we're standing side stage for Ghostface Killa, Wu-Tang Clan, next to like Orange Cassidy and Faye Jackson and all these people. Like, it's the most bizarre, one of the most bizarre moments of my life. Like, as Orange Cassidy was, instead of the lackadaisical thumbs up, was giving the lackadaisical like rocking out signs and stuff. Like, it was pretty hilarious. He also got thrown from the stage into the pit as well.
What's his gimmick in AEW? Best friends, is that what it is?
Yeah,
that is it's weird because he keeps his hands in his pocket. He kind of leans back, does the lean back, and it's like, people die for it.
And I will say, for me personally, like, my favorite match of the year was getting to call Orange Cassidy against Gentleman Jervis in Russell Circus, which now is getting close to 10 million views total online. So more than like anything I've ever done broadcasting wise, thank you to Orange Cassidy and Gentleman Jervis, because that's gotten insane views and it was so much fun. Like, it just like the most wholesome, funny match. And I'm glad that Orange Cassidy is getting this big attention with AEW. I hope AEW looks at Gentleman Jervis sometime soon as well.
You know, I don't know if you listened last week, Artis, but we debated, you know, because we're doing the painies. We're like, breakout star. It's like, can we put Orange Cassidy in there considering he hasn't really...
I think he's absolutely a nominee. I mean, in Corpus for Dark, when he was under the ring and they pulled him out with a ladder, like the pop that got was gigantic. It was unbelievable. It was like, I think the only other louder pop of the night was maybe either Cody or Guevara, but like the place was going bananas for him, or oranges, I guess. But
yeah, what's it like when the lights go out? Because they like to do that in AEW, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like he probably ran down at the same time as the whole Dark Order thing, which I'm a big fan of Uno and Stu, and I really hope that...
Is this the same Uno who was part of the Super Smash Brothers?
Oh, yeah,
or whatever?
Both of them. Yeah.
Both those guys.
Yeah, and Stu used to be Dose. He used to be under the mask, but he got rid of the mask years ago. But yeah, the same
two. We saw him wrestle at the Dome Arena here with an upstate show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They wrestled a ton in this area. They're both from right over the border. And so, like, I really hope that thing gets going. I know I didn't hear it yet, but I read some words from JR about that being kind of the closing of the year for AEW and how it didn't really go over that well. So I hope it gets on track.
Well,
it was
let's be honest, the video that came out with the guy throwing the worked punches nowhere near Dustin Rhodes' head, Dustin Rhodes reacting.
Yeah.
People, and you know, the funny thing is WWE stars have come out and commented on it. So that's where it kind of makes it a big deal. To me, it means nothing. I've seen worse, you know? So it's like...
Oh, did you hear the rumor that came out during the week about Randy Orton?
I know Randy Orton commented on
that. Randy Orton commented on that, but apparently he had a meeting with Tony Khan. He sat down with Tony Khan. Tony Khan offered him a contract. It wasn't more money than Jericho, so Orton re-signed with WWE.
Yep.
He was legitimately talking about going to AEW.
Well, he was posting about it a lot.
Well, he said he was just trolling everybody. He legitimately had discussions with him.
I will just say, I mean, for talking about that Dark Order segment, like I was like right there near where the, I mean, it was like sitting in the third row, like right near those terrible punches. I didn't even notice that part. I'm just talking about in general, like, it just kind of dragged on a little bit.
It did. You're right.
It's a great place to put that in a spot where you're trying to get this over, like, give it that final moment of the year thing, but it should have been quicker. They should have pounced right on him faster. I don't like the execution. Well,
even the announcers, it's like they're selling this long thing going on, but they were like super hyped at the beginning, and it just kept going on. And so it's like, It's one of those things where it should have been cut short at least, you know?
Yes.
So I agree. But you know what? You know, and I'm not going to hold it against him. Like I said, I've seen worse worked punches. You know, just watch any celebrity go into a wrestling match. Maria Menounos, who was on last night, had the worst worked punch I think I've ever seen in my life.
Shane McMahon,
yeah. So
we've seen battle royals and Royal Rumbles where people have eliminated themselves.
What was that one match back in the day? Jenna Maraska and Charmel?
Yeah.
I can't believe I just thought of that.
The girl from Survivor, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, they're so. But you know what? Don't hold that against them.
What's that match talking about? Let's go to match of the year.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah. Let's go. We got two more to go. That's right. Go for match of the year. We got only
match
got a
couple of the years. Year with 35.71% of the vote. So this must have been a close one. Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano from TakeOver 25.
Oh, I, that's my vote without a doubt. I mean, that was
an unbelievable match, and that was since with the write-in, I still had to pick an actual match that was on there as well. That's the one I picked. For me personally, the storytelling, I don't want to sound like an AEW fanboy, but the storytelling of Cody and Dustin Rhodes, that match was unbelievable to me. And it wasn't even the match I was most hyped for going into watching that show or anything.
No, that match was fantastic.
But that match was unbelievable from just an old school feel to it. And that was my write-in.
Okay, but what he forgot to mention is that his write-in also included two other words, garlic bread.
You always got to write it in garlic bread. How'd you know that was mine? Yeah.
Well, we've got less than 2 minutes, and I've got one award left. Male Wrestler of the Year. I've not even looked at it because I'm going to be disappointed, I think. Because we have a lot of WWE fans, and we'll see. Okay. Well, I'm not disappointed. Okay. Male Wrestler of the Year with a 39.29% of the vote, Adam Cole, baby. So, and I'll be honest with you, I will take that over Seth Rollins. I will take that over Roman Reigns. I will take that over a lot of people. I think there's other guys who still deserve it more maybe than Adam Cole, but of the guys on the list, he's definitely the
I don't think you could have found someone who is such a consistent high-level performer this year than Adam Cole.
No, I mean,
no. From a match perspective, he has to win.
Survivor Series weekend, I thought he was dead, and then he came out and wrestled the next night. So
I personally would have, in a category of like what they did for the business, I would have included Jericho as like a contender for that.
Chris Jericho had the second highest amount of votes.
And which is, I will say, there was something on Twitter, I want to say it was Sports Illustrated or whatever, like ranking like the top 10 of the year, and the highest ranked one in AEW was Moxley. And I disagree with
that. They had him
as
number one overall for the year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's no, hey guys, like, yeah. Jericho and Cody both go over him. No offense. I mean, Moxley showing up, that was a huge moment.
Rob, you got to come back because we're running out of time, man. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you guys for voting and the painies. That's the end of the year. We'll see you in 2020, folks. Rob, man, have a safe trip back.
Happy New Year.
Thank
Good
you
morning.
So much.